You are listening to
Packers Talk.
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signing.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.
Amanda, come in.
10-4.
Have you infiltrated the security system yet?
Locked and loaded. Ready to lower myself into the enemy war room.
I'm lowering you down now.
I have access. The Packers are in for a tough one this week. I need the password to proceed.
The password is read option.
I hate that password.
Me too. You know which wires to cut.
Always go for the green and gold. Here we go. I'm Amanda Lawson.
And I'm Chris Calloway, and you're going with us
behind
enemy lines. Welcome to another week of Packers Football and Behind Enemy Lines, a podcast hosted through PackersTalk.com. You can find us on iTunes at PackersTalk.com, as well as on Twitter at EnemyLinesGB. I'm one of the hosts, Chris Calloway, on Twitter at CCalloway33, and I'm joined, as always, by my dear friend and fellow owner, Amanda, who you can find on Twitter at Amanda R. Geoffrey. The Packers are 6-0 as they come out of the bye week and head to Mile High to take on the undefeated Broncos. Amanda, how stupid are bye weeks?
I had a really nice bye week. We went on a little Sunday afternoon drive, went to the pumpkin patch, and then stopped at a brewery on the way home and enjoyed the beautiful weather. It wasn't that bad.
Wow, you went from like zero to married in like no time.
Okay, you know what? I knew we were going to have to watch the Dallas Cowboys suck later, so we did activities during the day.
Fair enough. Well, I thought it was stupid. There just weren't that many good games on. And there was this, like, one suck fest after another that I was just craving some good Packers football. But the good news is we're certainly going to have that, hopefully, on Sunday night.
But, hey, let's talk about that game way before the bye week where you were there cheering like a madman.
Yeah, that was people were asking me, oh, how was the game? I was like, it was exciting, but it wasn't a particularly good game. You know, like it was not the best played game against the Chargers 2 weeks ago, but it certainly was exciting at the end, more exciting than it should have been. But, you know, that defense, bend as far as you can, but don't break. Come up with that one big play.
Did.
I mean, that was the run. That was the 2010 run to the Super Bowl. And, you know, it wasn't exactly the same, but they did enough to beat the Chargers, which is a good thing.
Yeah, a few great plays that were needed at crucial times.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was hard to watch, man.
Like,
I closed my eyes a lot.
Obviously, I don't have, like, my computer up or watching the stats like I do, you know, if I'm watching it from my living room. So I knew Phillip Rivers was throwing the ball a lot. But when I got out of the stadium and saw that he had thrown for 500 yards and threw the ball 65 times, I was just flabbergasted and frankly kind of amazed that they came out of there with a win.
Yeah, no, I think Aaron's response was, he's like, aren't they playing Phillip Rivers? Why does he have that many yards? And I was like, I don't know. That's a good question. Please don't ask me. I'm not out on the field right now.
Well, I do think Phillip Rivers is good. I think he's very talented, but I don't know. There's just something missing there. There's a reason that they haven't had success.
I think his resources aren't as consistent as he would like them to be. I think that's part of it. But
Keenan Allen sure looked good.
Yeah, well, he did. Oh, man.
Well, let's bring it back to the Packers. James Starks had that big run, which was basically right into my lap. It felt like I was sitting in that corner of the end zone. So I saw him run off to the left and then kind of get buried in the line and then spin around. And then all of a sudden he's breaking free. And I was like, oh my God, go, go, go. You know, but it was that run by James Starks and really not a whole lot else. Eddie Lacy not at 100%. The offensive line, I don't know. I mean, what's up with the running game?
I don't know. It was, I felt like we got a little lazy all around. It just seemed like...
Like, what do you mean by lazy? Like, coaching staff or players-wise or like...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we were just like, hey, the bye week's next week. This is the Chargers. They're really not going to be that difficult to play. Plus, we're at home. Let's just, you know, not worry about doing really good. I just felt like there wasn't as much enthusiasm in the whole game. It just seemed kind of flat.
Well, you make me seem like I'm not doing my job as a fan in the stadium.
Well, maybe you weren't.
Maybe I wasn't. Well,
I don't know. And, well, so to my... Here's part of it. I was driving through Iowa, and it was really hard to get Packer stations. We were constantly flipping between two that were barely coming in. So it was really hard for me to understand exactly what was happening. I was going between listening on the radio, and then it would cut out right when the most important part of the play was happening, and then I would have to, like, update my phone to figure out what had happened. So it just, I don't know. It seemed like they started off super strong, and then all of a sudden it was like, eh, we're just going to reel it in a little bit.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers needs all of his tools at his disposal.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really nice having Jordy Nelson. It's really nice having, you know, a healthy Eddie Lacy. And without those things, I mean, we're still like, oh, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. He'll be fine. But, you know, Ty Montgomery goes down and you're counting on other people. I mean, not having Davante Adams for all these weeks, it was basically like Jeff Janis, Randall Cobb, and like Jared Aberderis was out there. And I mean, that is a drop off and really doesn't strike the fear of God into anybody.
No, it doesn't.
And I got a question. I mean, I don't know if you were watching it, but like, it seemed like at sometimes Rodgers was just kind of throwing it up, you know, just kind of chucking it and seeing what happens. One time, Jeff Janis came down with a kind of miraculous borderline catch that I didn't think was intended for him, but he kind of came out of nowhere sliding. But I don't know if that was Rodgers taking some chances or just kind of saying, you know, screw it. I got to make a play somehow and let's see what happens, which isn't traditionally Rodgers' kind of go-to.
No, that's not really his style. But I think there's something to be said to that. You're missing a lot of people. And how many reps has he actually, like, done with Jared Aberderis in practice? Hopefully some.
Yeah.
But who knows once he gets out there on the field. It's like, well, let's see. Can he do what Jordy Nelson does? Let's try it out.
Well, I think this week will be very telling. Davante Adams is supposed to be back. You know, Eddie Lacy is supposed to be back and healthy. So just kind of rounding out those weapons, I'm hoping for a good performance. I know they're going up against the number one defense in football, or, you know, they're good. I mean, there's no denying that, but are you interested? How much stock do you put in his performance on Sunday night?
I think it's pretty crucial, but I think if there's about two offenses who I think can tear apart the number one ranked defense, and that's
okay.
Probably the Patriots and the Packers.
So you like the best offense being able to beat out the best defense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But I also think that best offense comes with a defense that they might have not had the greatest performance on 2 weeks ago.
Our Packer defense?
They've been pretty solid.
Right.
And I think that Denver offense, they've struggled a lot more.
Right, dropping
so
passes,
think,
not
yeah,
getting
I think
a running
overall,
game.
The
I think
Packers
they're
going to win that one.
I think their offensive line is really beat up, which is encouraging.
Perfect for Clay Matthews.
Like Mike Daniels, I'm eyeing up as having a big game. I don't know. You know, hopefully Raji is back and, you know, being able to be his regular large human being self.
Right. And I'm not saying that we can rely solely on our defense. I think Aaron Rodgers and the offensive game, they got to get something going. They got to make sure there's points on the board. But I think our defense is going to be able to shut the Broncos offense down better than the Broncos will be able to turn the tables on the Packers.
It does kind of seem weird that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, arguably two of the best quarterbacks of all time, and everybody's talking about the defenses going into this game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's true. But you know what? I mean, Peyton Manning, he's like, you know, we're going to talk a little bit in the next couple of minutes with our guests, and we're going to talk about how they're missing some weapons on their team. Not people that they've had the last couple of years aren't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I think it's just kind of changed over the last couple of years. It's not exactly the offense that we've seen from the Broncos and from Peyton Manning previously.
Right. I don't think the excuse, yeah, but it's Peyton Manning, like, works for them anymore. I think, you know, he'll be able to be all right, but, you know, getting hit a couple of times by Clay Matthews or getting crunched by Mike Daniels, I think, you know, that's a good recipe for success for the Packers.
Yeah, he better feed his O-line well this week.
Right, yeah. I mean, they need to protect him, that's
terrified.
For sure. So, Las Vegas. I'm always interested in the gambling and betting side of things. Not that I really bet anything, but the Packers are favorites in this game. They're about a field goal favorite on the road against an undefeated team. Does that surprise you?
No. I mean, the Packers are undefeated, too. I mean, they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I don't know, should that be surprising to me? But I feel like it's not like they're going up. They're a crappy team going up against a great team.
Right. But I found a good statistic. The last time the Broncos were an underdog at home by as many as 3 points was against Pittsburgh in the 2011 wild card playoffs when they were 7.5-point underdogs. Guess who was the savior in that game?
Was it Mr. Tim Tebow?
Mr. Tim Tebow. That was the last time they were more than a 3-point underdog at home. And so I guess that doesn't bode well for the Packers.
It's Tim Tebow. I feel like all Tim Tebow statistics are irrelevant at some point because who knows how he does things that he does. He just seemed to make things happen.
He's on Team Jesus.
Team Jesus.
Well, it'll be a mile closer to heaven this Sunday night. Is that a good segue?
Yeah, that's great.
I don't know. I'm excited for this game. I'm stoked for it. It's one I've circled on the calendar. And the fact that they're both undefeated, I mean, it just makes it that much better. I just hope we get a good game. I want a really good game on Sunday night.
You're already making my heart rate, like, skyrocket. You know I would prefer just a blowout.
49-0? Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
It's going to be
but
a 19-14.
That would be really good for my health.
Your chronic heart issues at the age of 35 or whatever you are.
I'm not 35. I just got married. I didn't get older.
Well, agree to disagree.
Anyways, should we bring in our guest?
I think it's about time we do that.
Okay. Now we'd like to welcome our guest, Nikki Jambala, to the show. Nikki is a Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. You can find her work and follow her on Twitter at Nikki Jambala, which is NICKIJHABVALA. Welcome to the show, Nikki.
Thanks for having me.
So the Broncos are 6-0, but they've had some close calls, and they have not looked dominant as a whole yet this season. Are you surprised that the team is still unblemished?
A little bit, yes. When you think about the transition they've had to undergo, both, you know, defensively, but especially offensively, I think many people here are surprised that they are 6-0. But it's been all about the defense so far.
Let's start right there with the defense then. I mean, I think it's certainly been as good as advertised, if not better. And, I mean, I think everything kind of revolves around DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. So, first off, is DeMarcus Ware going to be back 100%, do you think? And secondly, how big is the role that those two linebackers play within the 3-4 defense?
Yeah, DeMarcus Ware should be back. He started practicing this week. He was listed as limited today, but the expectation is he'll be back in full, and he told us he feels fine. But yeah, this defense centers on them. I mean, Wade Phillips 3-4. It's like a dream for outside linebackers, and they have so many pass rushers, this group, that, you know, it's just perfect. What's interesting about this defense to me is this is essentially the same group that played with Jack Del Rio in the 4-3 last season. The one new face is Darian Stewart in safety. But it's just interesting how much a defense can change when you find a system that really works for the personnel. And this works beautifully. I mean, they're swarming the quarterback. The pressure is unrelenting. I think this game will be their biggest test yet, but, you know, so far they've been by far the most consistent force for the Broncos.
let's talk about that secondary then. Aqib Talib is the best known name in the secondary, at least to me. It's a unit that prides itself on turnovers. Turnovers obviously important in any game, but Aaron Rodgers takes care of the ball as good as anyone. What can the defensive backfield do to force Rodgers into making bad decisions?
Well, I actually think that it starts on the defensive line. The pressure there will allow the defensive backs to get more picks, which is, you know, what they've done best so far this season. I think Chris Harris is still unheralded for all the work he does because he plays in motion. Aqib is usually matched with one guy, and so he's kind of turned the interception into an art form, Aqib. Chris Harris has really been the one to watch in coverage. He hasn't allowed a touchdown in coverage in, I think it's, 29 games now, dating back to 2013. So he's been the most impressive to me. I mean, this Sunday is their biggest test. You know, everybody talks about Aaron Rodgers out here, but they're also kind of overlooking the defense, which is the top scoring defense in the league. So, you know, I think the Broncos on both sides of the ball have their work cut out for them, for sure.
I saw a statistic earlier on this season that the defense and the special teams are far outscoring the offense. I think that's still true. I mean, do you think that's just kind of fluky in that regard, or is that something that can withstand over the course of the whole season?
I don't think it's something that can withstand, and they know that. I mean, basic principle, you got to score points to win.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rely on your defense to not only, you know, prevent defeats but also win games for you. I think back to the 2000 Ravens where they had that five-game stretch where they didn't have an offensive touchdown in any of them. But that's not something any team, I think, you know, wants to continue or boast about. So, you know, I think last week for the Broncos was an improvement, especially with their offensive line. But it's not anywhere where they want to be. I think they understood going into this and switching to Gary Kubiak's offense that it would take some time for these guys to gel, especially with Evan Mathis coming in late. It would take some time, maybe not this long, but, you know, it's still a work in progress. And they, you know, they want to put numbers up for sure.
Well, let's kind of talk about the new coaching staff. You mentioned the Wade Phillips defense, but Gary Kubiak is looking good on the sidelines as well. You kind of touched on it, but how good have the new coaches been for the Broncos?
I think they've been great. I think Kubiak is one of those guys where he not only knows how to get the best out of the players, he knows how to do it with, like, a good bedside manner, if you know what I mean. It's, you know, he's not one of those guys who will be screaming from the sidelines. He's not going to, like, embarrass you in front of people if you don't do something right. I mean, he knows what these players want, and he actually cares about them. And it's reflected in their play. You know, I think a lot of players, and they've told me this, that they want to do well for Kubiak. The defense wants to do well for Wade Phillips. There's a respect and a trust there. So I think it means a lot. And I think the fact that, you know, these guys have been here before, you know, they've left their mark on this franchise and now coming back, it kind of reflects on these players, you know. They really do care about this franchise, and this is why they came back.
And what you said there, kind of the trust on the franchise. I mean, I think I heard Demaryius Thomas say something earlier in the week, kind of owning up to some of those drops on Peyton Manning. Like, you know, they have so much respect for him that they feel like I'm letting him down. But we'll get to the wideouts
right
in a second. But first, it to me, and I think to a lot of people, it's obvious that Peyton Manning isn't, you know, Peyton Manning anymore. He's leading the league in interception. It's a good thing he has the defense he does. But do you think his play will inevitably come a legitimate cause for concern for this team?
I don't think so, just because he is Peyton Manning, and he has proved a couple times already this season that he can still pull out the tricks when, you know, it's crunch time. And you look at the drive at Kansas City, you look at, you know, the 75-yard pass to Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, he's still capable of doing those things. He's not the guy that played, you know, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, but I don't think it'd be unreasonable to expect that for somebody at 39. I'm not sure how many quarterbacks were the same quarterback they were at that age, you know, early in their career. I don't think it'll get to a point where he's a liability, and I think this talk of, oh, should you bench Peyton for Brock Osweiler, I think that's absolutely ludicrous. I don't even know why that's the topic, to be honest. I think Peyton, any way you look at it, he's a quarterback of a 6-0 team. I mean, can't be that much of a liability. He's still going through adjustments like everybody else is on the team. So I think they'll gradually improve. I don't think he's going to be, the quarterback that we saw in 2013 when he was shattering records left and right. But, even on his, I think he's still an asset to the team any way you look at it.
Well, there's definitely something there to be respected with Peyton Manning. I mean, he still is a great quarterback. But what can the Packers do to best frustrate him on Sunday? Is it all about keeping Clay Matthews breathing down his neck the whole game? Or what can the Packers do?
They compound that offensive line, because I think, they had a pretty good game at Cleveland, but they're not anywhere near where they need to be. And if Tyson Braille returns from the shoulder injury, it's going to be another new group up front. They had been, with the same group mostly for the past two games, and now they're going to switch again. So I think any interior pressure is going to be a problem. So starts with the line with me.
And getting back to the question that I was talking about with the wide receivers, I mean, Demaryius Thomas has been a good teammate, like we said, but there's been a lot of drops, especially recently. How much of that is on the wideouts, and how much do you think that is on Manning maybe not putting it where he had been in the past? And do you think it can be fixed?
I think it's definitely fixable. I think there's a communication issue there, and they've mentioned it a couple times. Demaryius also had the drops issue before the bye last season too. So this isn't completely new to him, and he's owned up to it both times. But there's, attention to detail. He said after the Cleveland game that he took his eye off the ball, which, is one of the basics of receiving. So he's owned up to it. He knows it. I think a couple of the drops were on him because they were placed well. But there have definitely been some errant throws that, Peyton has owned up to as well. So I think it falls on both, and just the offense as a whole. This is, getting better, I suppose. But, there's a lot of room for improvement for sure. I think the biggest thing, frankly, is getting that run game going or continuing off what they did at Cleveland. Because up until then, aside from a 72-yard run from Ronnie Hillman, it just, it's kind of non-existent. They still need CJ to step up more. They want more out of Ronnie Hillman. Hopefully they can get Juwan Thompson back this week. And that'll give them the boost they need on the ground.
Well, a big question in the Denver Post mailbag this week was about the tight end position. I mean, there's no Julius Thomas this season, no Jacob Tammy. Owen Daniels has been inconsistent. How much do they miss that tight end?
Oh, I think greatly, especially here because Gary Kubiak is known to love his tight end. Peyton Manning, too. I mean, Julius Thomas was a huge red zone target for them. So, the loss of Julius Thomas, it really shows up on paper and on game days, and that's hurting him now. And Kubiak keeps saying he needs to find a way to get the tight ends involved more. Owen Daniels hasn't so far looked like the player I suppose the Broncos thought they were getting. He's well-versed in Kubiak's offense, but he hasn't had the production that they were hoping. And I think that's one of the reasons they made the roster moves that they did in recent weeks, where they brought in Richard Gordon, he's a big boy. He can create those mismatches. It'll be interesting to see if he gets some time this weekend. But he's big, big blocking tight end. I think he could be a help to them. I mean, Kubiak has sung his praises so far.
Well, I think the Packers have struggled giving up stuff underneath, so I think a tight end would certainly come in handy for them this weekend. But you got me thinking about the Broncos' offensive line. I think the Packers' defensive line has been much improved this season, so I think that's could be a big mismatch this weekend, and it's one that I'm hoping for at least. Where do you see kind of the game swinging? What kind of aspect of the game do you think is going to become most important on Sunday night?
I actually think it'll come down to the defense. I mean, it's you know, so far, based on what we've seen from this offense, the production is limited and it often comes down to the wire, which puts more on the defense, especially in facing Aaron Rodgers. So you got two of the top scoring defenses in the league. I think it's going to come down to that. But we'll see. I mean, you know, they have a lot of players who are healthier now. They were pretty banged up going into that Cleveland game. So there's a lot of variables at play right now.
Well, we will find out Sunday night what will happen between the two undefeated teams. Big game for both of them. Nikki, what can you give us a prediction? What kind of score do you see coming out of Sunday night's game in Denver?
Oh, man. Can I add a disclaimer? I am terrible at these. I fail so many times.
That's totally okay.
Let's see. I'm going to go with, I'm going to keep it close. I'm going to go with 24-21.
Ooh.
Why? I don't really have a good reason.
Who's coming out on top?
I think Denver will come out on top. Home field advantage, but yeah, this is a close one. It'll be interesting for sure.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be a nail-biter. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I was surprised to see that the Packers were the favorites in Vegas, or 2.5 or 3-point favorite, and that kind of surprised me. But I'd like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers coming off the bye week. I think they're going to be healthy enough to go in and go up against that offense. And I don't think it's going to be a slugfest, you know, scoring-wise. But I like it kind of in the same range you were talking, Nikki. But I think I like the Packers coming out ahead 21-17. Can you break the tie, Amanda?
All right. Well, I don't. I think I agree with you. I think it's going to come down defensively. Who can really control the offense and make the offense discipline the quarterback? I think the Packers are still going to come out at least a touchdown ahead. I see the score being 17-10. I wish it was in Green Bay because I would feel a lot more confident about that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is in Denver. Sunday night game. It's going to be a good one. Thank you, Nikki, for joining us. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. It was fun.
We appreciate everyone for tuning in to the Week 8 edition of Behind Enemy Lines. The Packers travel to Denver to take on the undefeated Broncos for Sunday night football. Once again, you can find our podcast on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. I'm Chris Calloway, and you can find me at CCalloway33.
And I'm Amanda Geffrey. You can find me on Twitter at Amanda R. Geffrey. Thank you to our guest, Nikki Jabhala, for joining us. You can find her on Twitter at NICKIJABBALA. Remember, check out all of our podcasts on PackersTalk.com and follow Behind Enemy Lines on Twitter at Enemy Lines GB. Until next time,
go Pack Go!
This Green Bay Packers podcast is brought to you by Mayfield Sports Marketing, our official sports marketing agent for player appearances. To book a Packers player for your next event, go to PackersTalk.com and click on Player Appearances. Are you looking for some signed Packer memorabilia?
Look no further than Waukesha Sports Cards.
If a Green Bay Packer can sign it, Waukesha Sports Cards has it.
Check our website for upcoming Packer player and legend signings.
Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com.